Hello everyone and welcome to episode 12 of the Academica Vertex. I'm your host Ollie and you can find us on Twitter at @_FFAcademy. So at the time of the recording, we have just received the news that the Spurs-Fulham game has been cancelled due to COVID-19. This is now the second game this week which has been postponed to COVID-19. So we could potentially see a winter break or a COVID break for the clubs and then maybe triple game weeks in the future. Today we'll be discussing all things game week 16 and 17 as we close into the double and blank game weeks. Today I'm joined by the team, Aditya and Chris. So Aditya, how's this sort of hectic game week been for you?
Well, this game week and the current situation has been, you know, hit at the worst time for all of us at the moment. And for me and others who actually saved up our wild cards and used it right before game week 16, it's been a pain. For people who intended to actually use their free hit in game week 18 and have gone without Man City players and all, I guess would be fine and in a better place. But unlike me, I've actually not planned on using the free hit in game week 18 and I've gone with De Bruyne and Ruben Dias. And basically, I think I'm just playing 10 or 9 men for this game week. And I've just scored about 24 points and with the Spurs fixture also getting postponed now, I think.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely saving your free hit seems like a viable tactic with all the sort of madness and blanks that have been going on. But Chris, how's your Christmas been with all this football going on?
Hello, I've been doing well, just out of isolation. And this game week has me, it's confusing. I'm feeling good about the players that have started, because at this point you can't really complain when your player starts and gets nothing but 2 points. They're valuable at this moment, but it's not so bad. I'm on 31 points, including a hit, and now I'm seeing the news that Robertson might be starting, so I have Robertson and Salah captain left possibly. So I think it's been an average period, and I know there's people who are much worse situations. I tended to not play the free hit in 18, which left me with De Bruyne. But I can't really complain, and I hope we can find a way around this.
Yeah, well, I'm intending to play my free hit with Game Week 18, so it looks like I'm the odd one out here. But first, I'd just like to start with possibly the most entertaining game this week, apart from the rest of the games have been slightly low scoring, but the most entertaining has to be that Leeds 5-0 victory over West Brom. Liverpool couldn't do it last week, but Leeds have put 5 past West Brom in their own ground. So I'd just like to talk about Leeds a little bit before the double game week coming up, which they do have 2 pretty good fixtures. I mean, we know Bamford is such a good option. He's 50% owned now and going to be on penalties. But Aditya, apart from the likes of Bamford, Dallas and Meslier, the popular options, are there any more differential Leeds assets who could score highly this double game week?
I think the first name which pops to my mind is Alioski, but we'll have to wait and see whether Cooper is fit by the double game week time and whether he could lose his spot. And with Dallas switching back as a left back, Eiling going back as a right back, and then Cooper basically playing as a center back. But we'll have to wait and see. But I think Alioski would be the one, and maybe Rodrigo, the striker. These two could be the other options which people have not spoken, or maybe even the goalkeeper, Ian Meslier. And also, as you said rightly, I mean, Leeds' numbers over the last 4 weeks offensively has been pretty good. I mean, they created 52 chances at 67 attempts on goal, average a chance every 5.6 minutes, and just scored 13 goals, which is the best, with United scoring 12. So, overall, an excellent counter-attacking team, but they've managed to keep 2 consecutive clean sheets in a row. So people who are saying that Leeds defensively are going to leak, I mean, they've just surprised all of us by keeping clean sheets.
For sure. I think they certainly do entertain. They've scored 30 goals this season now after that game and conceded 30 as well. But Krista, the worrying thing that might come to FPL managers is that Leeds had the second worst defence in the league coming into this game. Is that not potentially worrying for Dallas owners and maybe people doubling up with Dallas and Meslier going into the double game week?
It's a really interesting topic, and I have Dallas since game week 5 when I wildcarded it, and ever since he's been a great pick in both terms of points and value, because he was 4.5 million when I picked him, and I think for that price he's done much more than he should. He's playing in an advanced position and sometimes even in the midfield, and I think he's like a dare I say it, Trent Alexander-Arnold or Robertson, because maybe the clean sheets will not come in abundance, but you can see the clear attacking threat that he has. And with Leeds, you can see them all attacking in every game, the attack. So he even got a goal against United and Leicester, you know. Even when he doesn't get the clean sheet, he can't return. And for that price tag, I think he's a season keeper. Yeah, honestly, I wouldn't worry about him. And if you have some better defenders with better fixtures, maybe it's even wise to start him over Dallas, because he can always do something to get points.
Yeah, well, I mean, that certainly is the advantage with an attacking defender like Dallas. And I mean, he's been so brilliant delivering recently with two clean sheets in a row and attacking returns as well. But this is an interesting one, Aditya. Leeds, they won the league, the championship, by 10 points last season. And I saw a pundit on Prime Video yesterday saying that COVID really did help Leeds, because this style of constant threat and attacking is very exhausting for the players. So do you think that although the Leeds assets are doing well now, they'll potentially run out of steam in the future?
I'm not a pundit here, but I don't think so. Because the way Marco basically Bielsa plays, we all know basically he plays the counter-attacking way. And he doesn't shy away from playing that style of play. And he's been very adamant for the fact that he'll always play in a similar fashion and will not defend. So I think the Leeds players, they all know for a fact that if they play under him, they are going to play in the similar fashion and they have to keep up their fitness levels. So I don't think we are going to see anything bad or worse in terms of performance unless somebody outsmarts them and plays more defensively. But other than that, I think they'll be able to keep up the run, and that's something different for us to watch in the Premier League. Rather than seeing teams generally sit behind, defend and hit on the break, it's finally for once nice to see few different teams play in different styles of play.
Yeah, well, they certainly are, as I said, very, very different to teams like West Brom under Sam Allardyce, who just sat behind the ball at Anfield. But yeah, I think Dallas and Bamford are definitely, I'd say, must own players. And it's just whether you really want that third Leeds asset in maybe like Meslier, or perhaps Rafinha has played quite well recently. I mean, he got 8 points against West Brom, 8 points against Man United. But anyway, that's enough of the Leeds talk. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see what they're like in the future.
I'd like to add something.
Yeah.
I have some stats here from FPL Pop on Twitter. If you want, you can follow him. He always provides some great information and regarding the games and the statistics. So even though Bamford did not get a goal last night, he had 4 shots, 3 in the box, and 1 big chance, which just shows that he can always get a goal, like anytime. And he got 8 points without getting a single goal, which shows a lot, I think. So he should be great value over the year.
I mean, Bamford's expected goals is one of the highest in the league now, and he certainly looks like he's getting the chances, and he's a clinical striker, so I'm sure the points won't hold up just yet, and the fixtures don't look too bad either with Tottenham next. And him being on penalties, that really just seals it for me, and hopefully there's more points to come from Bamford. So Man United, they managed to scrape past Wolves in Fergie time. DT, I'm sure, was very happy with that result, and United now look like they have the sort of ability to grind out results. They move up to second in the table, which is, I don't know particularly how. I mean, Rashford has scored his first goal at Old Trafford since July, and Solskjaer, he switched in playing from on the left wing, and he switched him to play on the right, and he really looked like a force then. I mean, he was making runs sort of inside the box, from out to in, rather when he was playing on the left, he was going in to out and not being a threat. But do you think that potentially, Aditya, we could see Rashford more often playing on the right, and were you happy with that result against Wolves too?
I mean, I think over the last few seasons, we have not managed to beat Wolves, and finally getting the better result and winning the game is a great thing. And you're finally, I think, in the second position, as you said. And people initially didn't consider United as title contenders. And again, as I would say, it's too early to say. But looking at where we are placed at the moment, it's definitely, you know, nice to see. And I remember a few months back, Arsenal fans were basically saying that we are 15th place and all that stuff. And Arsenal were, I think, at 15, but now they've managed to get their, you know, team back on track. But Rashford playing, basically Rashford on the wing is always explosive, and he's always better playing on the wing rather than playing in the middle bit. Because I think a few games back, he did play as a striker, and he doesn't play that well in the middle, but on the wings, he's very, very good. And either of the side, he will play well, but with the lack of a prominent right winger is where United are struggling, and that's where they have to juggle and shuffle between Greenwood, Martial, Rashford, to somehow slot in Edinson Cavani, because Cavani is an excellent striker, and we all know that he plays well, and he also is a key part of the side at the moment in terms of even scoring goals and creating chances. So that's why I think Rashford had to play on the sides, and Martial was subbed in for Greenwood. So that's why I think Rashford had to switch to the right hand side. And I think that doesn't make a lot of difference, because he does play well even on the left side. But overall, he's a great, great player and an excellent winger, so I don't think he'll struggle playing on either side of the pitch.
Well, yeah, we saw them just scrape something out there, and to be honest, it was slightly unlucky for Wolves. They'd played and defended really, really well, only just to concede a deflected shot at the end of the game in the 93rd minute. And on top of that, they'd only had 48 hours of recovery time from the previous game. So consolation for Wolves, and I think Solskjaer did say that in the post-match interview, and said that it was harsh on Wolves to have such little recovery time and then get beaten in that fashion. But what was interesting about that game, I thought, was the expected goal involvement. I mean, Cavani was up there with 1.12, but didn't manage to get anything. Bruno, again, he was second with 0.84. He had three shots in the game as well, and really looked like, again, he's just a must-have. And to be honest, I did get him in this game week for Kevin De Bruyne. But yeah, I think Rashford, his expected goals was only 0.21, and he did look much better on the right compared to the left. So as soon as Solskjaer did that was a great managerial move. But unless you have anything to add to that game, Chris, I mean, it was quite a boring sort of 1-0 game, really. I mean, Wolves, they had such a good ability to defend.
I watched the game for some reason. Maybe I wanted to jinx Bruno, I don't know. So I think it was not that bad of a game. Yep, I think I couldn't expect anything more from these two teams. Wolves had a fair share of chances, and they could have scored, if you ask me. United were really leaky from the wings, especially in the first half. Which is something I noticed. Neto got two shots, and he could have had a goal too. What really caught my eye, and as I'm reading this from FPL Pass review, Rashford had 3 shots, 2 in the box, and Cavani had 2 shots, 2 in the box. And then Bruno, you know, with 3 and 1 in the box, with 1 big chance too, which Patricio saved. And I think Rashford and Cavani can be really good at alternatives to Bruno. And I think differential-wise, they can also provide really great value. And United's fixtures, I think they're not bad at all in the double and after that. So I think they are to be considered. But I think Rashford is better because he's more nailed. So, yeah, I think that should be considered.
For sure. Well, I mean, talking of Aditi was saying earlier that Arsenal fans were mocking Man United for being 15th. Arsenal, talking of them, they finally managed to win a game. They just beat Brighton 1-0. And to be honest, they played a completely new midfield again this game and last game of Smith Rowe, Saka and Martinelli, which really looked like a breath of fresh air for Arsenal after their string of poor results. The youth trio in the three have really brought something new, and Smith Rowe was a brilliant sort of deep lying playmaker really in that game. So they're definitely ones to watch, Saka and Martinelli. I think they had some great chances. Aubameyang again is dried up. There's no question of that. But Chris, do you have anything to comment as you have just brought in 2 players from Arsenal this game week?
Yeah, so I went a bit mad and I brought in 2 awesome players, and that's mostly due to the plan that I have to survive the bank game without using my free hit. So I had to go get in Leno and Saka for Grealish and Ryan, who has just not been playing, so I had to get rid of him. And I was really happy with it because Leno got the clean sheet as I expected, and I think he can continue to get clean sheets. Arsenal have really good fixtures up until, I don't know, game 24. I saw their fixtures and they look really, really good. So another guy who I had in mind was Rob Holding, who got 9 points yesterday. So I think he's a really, really solid option too. And Saka, he seems to really show his form and how good he is. Because I always thought he was a good player. And last season, he was always one of the players involved in most Arsenal goals. So I think if he can nail the spot down, he's incredible value at 5.1 million. So yeah, I think those are the ones to go from Arsenal. Like I said, maybe he's not that nailed, so I'd stay away. But I think Holding and Saka are the best value picks from that team. Who I think will start to get better.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Arsenal have really been an avoid team in the sort of this first season. But I mean, as I was saying, Saka and Martinelli have really brought something new to the team, and hopefully that can continue for Arsenal fans. I know we had FPL Focus on last week. But what was interesting is this loss for Brighton means that they've had 1 win at home all of 2020. Which is, I guess, very disappointing for Brighton fans. And Graham Potter said that in his interview post-match. And Lamptey, although he's not playing as of current, I think going forward, the defence surely has not to be an option. I know he can deliver attacking returns, but this is pretty poor from Brighton, and they're, along with Arsenal, not having their best season this season. So moving on to the Sheffield United Burnley, these two went together as being the lowest scoring clubs in the Premier League. So I think this had a 0-0 written all over it, but Ben Mee managed to go and get himself a header. So Aditya, one of the main talking points in this game is that Taylor got a hamstring injury, which was really unfortunate for owners, as they did go on to keep a clean sheet. And with the blank and double game weeks coming up, unless they can't field a full 11, should managers bother replacing him now, or is it a waste of a transfer? And who is the best replacement other than sort of Dallas, who we've already spoken about?
Well, since I was on a wild card, I did get in Charlie Taylor and he got injured. But again, this question is spot on in terms for me also, because even I've actually not, you know, had a think about it, basically, what is to be done. And I think for now, the best thing is would be to bench Taylor just for a week or so and just field in another defender, whoever you have on your bench. And not to do any transfer at the moment, because we don't know how things might change in the next few days, whether more games are going to be postponed or whether there are going to be a few more games added in the blank every week, or like teams like Spurs and Man City, who actually don't have a double game week in 19, could have another fixture making them play twice in the same game week. So things could change. So we'll have to wait and see whether we get more news before game week 17's deadline. But at the moment, I would say don't transfer him out. I know for a fact he is out. He got a hamstring injury. So definitely, I don't think he's going to be fit in another 2-3 weeks. But I think it was one of their midfielders who got subbed on. I think it was, if I'm not wrong, it was Benson who played, who got subbed on for him. I'm not sure. So, but at the moment, I think getting in a Burnley defender only would make sense. So it could be someone like Matthew Lawton or someone, or Eric Peters, who actually played, I think, again, out of position, I think, as a winger also. But with Goodmunson back again, I don't know how well he's going to switch in and whether he's going to play as a left back also. So if he does, then he could be another option. But to replace Taylor, as you said, if you don't want to get Dallas, then again, for defenders who are priced under 4.5, it gets very difficult for us to pick. Maybe someone like Alioski, I said, a differential if you don't have Dallas, or maybe an Arsenal defender like Rob Holding, as Chris was speaking, because I can't seem to find any other defenders who are priced under 4.5 who either have a double game week or play in the blank game week. So it gets very difficult for us to pick and choose at the moment. And with, again, the COVID crisis hitting, cases going up, players getting injured, and things are so uncertain, I think being patient at the moment is what is going to, you know, have the highest value.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be really tricky. There may not even be like a game week 17 with all this COVID news. I mean, I think hopefully the highest league should still go on, but we have seen a lot of teams suffer due to this COVID, and it is going to be difficult. So, Chris, would you advise people to still use their free hit and potentially bench boost in double game week 19? I mean, with all the COVID cancellations, would you advise to use our chips, or would you say just hold on to them for now?
First of all, I'd like to mention one pick in that bracket for defenders, which I think could be a nice one over the upcoming games, which is Nathaniel Clyne, and he plays in the blank. I'm sorry, and he has several too, which could be a really good opportunity for a clean sheet in a game week which doesn't look so promising, the next one, game week 17. So I think clean sheets would be much appreciated. And I think his fixtures are still good after the double. So I think he could be a good option, especially if you're not free hitting in the game week, the blank game week like me. I think he's a great option. And now to the question. It's a really weird situation for people that have used their wild card. I think they're more flexible because, okay, they have their plan, but I think the playing bench will help them anyway in these tough times. So they might actually wait until another double game week to use their chips. And we know that we're going to have a double game week in 26, in which the Tottenham game might be moved to. So Tottenham Fulham was going to be a game in the double, which is really promising in my opinion. And in the blank game week 29, which I'm actually thinking about using my free hit in. And I think that things will be more clear then. We will have hopefully less postponements to no postponements at all. So hopefully, I think there's not a reason not to play your chips if you have a strategy, but be careful and be alert of any news that we might have, because you might get caught in the whole thing and you might actually waste the chips. So I think if you have a plan, stick to it for now, and just try to adapt along the way.
Sounds good. I mean, it's just worth really having a strong bench this season as it is now, as we get into the height of the winter, really. But Aditya, a question that's been commonly asked on FPL Twitter and throughout the FPL community: what should we do with Manchester City assets? Kevin De Bruyne, should we keep or should we sell? I know he had a blank this game week against Everton, but City, we've talked about it before, they're not the same force that they were this season. So what is the best advice to do with the City assets?
I mean, for people who are not free hitting, I think they are forced to keep him. But we'll have to wait and see whether they actually play in game week 17 or not. But again, personally for me, if Man City don't play, I might have to bench De Bruyne and Ruben Dias, because my plan is actually not to free hit in 18. So I'll have to bite the bullet and somehow survive and script that game week. But I think most of the managers who had patience and did wildcard in game week 16 must have swapped out De Bruyne. So they're not basically that concerned. But for others who actually used up their wildcard and were kind of building their team towards the double game weeks and the blank game week, are the one who are in, let's say, a little bit of a chaotic situation here, because we don't know whether Man City are going to play in 17. But if they don't, then I think there's a chance they might play in the midweek League Cup semi-final against United. So there's a chance they will play that fixture and in game week 18. But I think a few hours back, BBC did put out saying that the training ground has opened and there has been no more positive results from their set of players in the bubble. So I think things are back to normal there. And with the players and the staff who have tested positive are self-isolating themselves now. So I think there is still a chance that the Chelsea City match will happen. So if it does, then I think there's no point transferring them out at the moment. Doesn't make sense, because they do play in 18, and if the games are scheduled, the ones which they missed, either the one against Villa or the one against Everton, is put in 19, then they do get a double game week. So again, it's just we have to wait and see when the Premier League are basically going to announce these, you know, postponed fixtures. But yes, as you said, their form is not that great. De Bruyne has been missing few one-on-one chances here and there, but at the end of the day, they are Manchester City, and you know they have a separate brand and style of playing. But although this season they have adapted a defensive approach, which is a little bit disappointing considering how they played, but I think keeping De Bruyne makes sense for me.
Yeah, I mean, certainly if you're not going to use your free hit, the Manchester City, hopefully they will be there for game week 18. But who would you say, Aditya and then Chris, would be the best replacement for De Bruyne if you're going to get rid? And everyone knows how good Bruno Fernandes is, but if you'd say someone other than Bruno Fernandes, who would you say is the best replacement?
The first one would be Heung-min Son, although they have not played this game week. Then Fernandes, if you still don't have him. Then I would say would be Sadio Mane. And I can't seem to remember if there are other so-called high-priced players here. Maybe Pulisic could be a differential. And there are a few other options. If you want to downgrade De Bruyne to someone like Rafinha and then spread out your remaining funds and improve, that could be another option. But doubling up on even Liverpool players could be an option, like getting Mane and playing Salah and Mane together, or Son or Fernandes, Rashford, another option which I forgot to mention. I think these could be the other options if you want to look out, if City don't play a double game week in 19 if they don't get the game schedule back there.
Yeah, for sure. And Chris, yourself?
I mean, I think Aditya really covered me here, because I think Bruno obviously is the next best option in my opinion, because he's just finding ways to get points in every situation. It's crazy. I've enjoyed owning him for two game weeks this season, and just when I sold him, he punished me against Leicester away. So it just goes to show that you can't really afford to not have Bruno this year, which is why I'll be getting for the double, and I don't think I'm gonna take him out again. So yeah, I think Bruno is the way to go, and maybe Son too, who has some good fixtures and a rest right now. So I think he could do well against Leeds. I think it's gonna be a high scoring game, because if Tottenham concede, they will have to go and score goals, and I think both sides will score. So it could be a good option to captain. Besides that, I don't see anyone else in that premium bracket, apart from CD assets, who could do well. Maybe Mane, but I think Salah is just a much better asset because of penalties. And yeah, maybe the explosiveness that he has on a more consistent basis.
For sure. And just in preparation again for the double game week, I want to discuss some more potential assets. And I know we've discussed it last week, but it is a very monumental part to the FPL season, double and blanks. But I just want to quickly talk about West Ham and potentially Antonio. And Aditya, whether you think Antonio is essential for the double game week. West Ham managed to keep a clean sheet with a draw 0-0 against Southampton. And for me as a Kufal owner, that was a bit unfortunate as he didn't even play. We saw Antonio come on from the bench for Sebastian Haller, I believe. Would you say that Antonio is going to be essential for this double game week?
We've known over the last few seasons, and especially towards the end of last season, how well Mikel Antonio played. And even at the start of this season, he was actually continuing his form until the injury hit. But let's see how well he plays in game week 17, and then we can decide. Because I think the manager should not basically take in rash decisions again and, you know, get in Antonio because, oh well, he played well before, and his ownership is right about 1.7%. Could be differential. Yes, obviously it could be differential, but there are other players again in the similar price bracket who have a double gimmick, like Jay Adams from Southampton, Bamford from Leeds. So people basically have these two forwards, and again, if they want to somehow fit in another player who has a double game week, and considering West Ham, the games that they play, that's Burnley and West Brom. Yes, very, very defensive sides, but on any given day, West Ham do struggle sometimes to create chances, and these games could basically even end up as a goalless draw too. So, you know, it's very unpredictable, but I don't think he's essential enough, but maybe in a few weeks' time, once he starts regaining his fitness back, and if we can see that he's gained form and he looks sharp and fit, then we can start to consider. But the game week 17 game against Everton could possibly give us few answers. And if he does play well and looks good, then probably we should try to get him in during game week 19.
Yeah, really all depending on his fitness, to be honest, and we know how good he was at the start of this season, and hopefully he can stay away from more injuries in the future. And Chris, I know we were talking about potential Kevin De Bruyne replacements, and I kind of just quickly want to talk about Pulisic and Barnes. I mean, they both had pretty good games, and especially Barnes, who's had 2 goals in his last 2 games, 6 shots, 2 of those were inside the box. And would you consider Leicester to be a good option, and particularly Harvey Barnes, and maybe a double up with Vardy for this coming double game week?
Yeah, definitely, and not just for the double. I think the fixtures after the double are great, in my opinion. And I mean, if maybe even not for Kevin De Bruyne, maybe for someone else as your fourth midfielder. So I think it's honestly something great. If you think about it, because if you only own Barnes, sometimes with Vardy and Barnes, you get annoyed because Vardy gets the pens and Leicester just get so many penalties and he gets the points. I think the double could be really beneficial and differential, actually. So I would think about it. And I think he provides better value than Zaha over that period, like, because he's cheaper. And I think even though Zaha is an out-of-position striker, I think Barnes just gets so much in the box and just shoots so much. And Leicester will get more chances than Palace, let's say. So I think he's a really good option. But I think Pulisic, Chelsea have not been playing well. I have to say that they're underwhelming at the moment, honestly. So, but Pulisic did play really well against Aston Villa. And as I can see from FPL Pop's stats here, he had four shots, three in the box and one big chance. And I think if his conversion rate improves, he could be a really great asset. And the Chelsea pictures look really good in the double game week and post and after that, I'm sorry. So he could be a really good option, yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I think Pulisic and Barnes are both really good options. I think as you're talking about Barnes, he does have Chelsea as one of his fixtures in the double game week, and we've seen Chelsea's defence not be particularly good. I mean, Villa, we saw El Ghazi score again, but Pulisic, as I was saying, he had four shots, three inside the box, and one big chance, and he's such a joy to watch when he's on the ball, Chris, but it was just his finishing that let him down a bit. I mean, he does all the hard work and dribbles it around three defenders, but then just didn't finish it off, and his expected goal involvement was 1.1, which was at the top of all of the stats, really. So yeah, I think those are two brilliant options. And what did you think of Pulisic and Chelsea as a Chelsea fan yourself, Chris?
Well, as I said, I mean, we were like better against Villa, so I honestly think that was a slight improvement. And even Werner had a better game. He came on as a sub and he played striker, and I think that shows that if we can get all players fit by that time, you know, Ziyech has to be fit too, because I think he's become a really vital player for us. Yeah, his creativity and his set pieces are something we're really missing at the moment. So I think when we are all the players are fit, you know, maybe Harvard's playing cam, or as a CM along with Mount, maybe. Honestly, I can see the team thriving. So I think Pulisic is going to become a much more popular option and really good one, actually, if that happens. So yeah, I think he could be a great differential.
Yeah, for sure. And we've just got the news that I think Rockstar has just confirmed on Twitter that Robertson will be starting. So Chris, that's a big W for you there. Let's see if Liverpool can do some damage against Newcastle tonight to save everyone's sort of game week. And yeah, I had a Salah captain as well. So Aditya, what is should we just quickly talk about everyone's teams and what their plans are coming up into to double and blank game week? So who are you looking to transfer in and out, Aditya?
Well, for game week 17, I'm waiting on the news whether Man City are going to play. I hope they play against Chelsea, but we'll have to wait and see. Taylor is injured, so I might just sub in and play Balbuena and bench him and then probably transfer him out for someone or for a defender who plays in game week 18, because I'm not going to free hit an 18. That's what I said. And maybe get in Calvert-Lewin because I transferred him out, because this was before the Everton City game getting postponed, we knew that James Rodriguez was a doubt and Richarlison was out due to the concussion protocols. But now with both of them back, I think, and for the game against West Ham is when basically I'm going to sit and watch and see how well they play, and then probably get in Calvert-Lewin for the blank game week as they play Wolves. That's basically my plan, and then I've got few players who play in the double game week 19, and we'll have to wait and see if more fixtures are added to the particular game week.
And Chris, how about yourself? What are your plans for this upcoming week? Who are you getting in and out?
I'm just kind of trying to wait and see, because as we know, things are really up in the air now, and I think waiting is the best thing you can do. But I think I'll be looking to get Taylor out, because have no one else. Mazwaku is just being there for some time. He's out for I think a long period of time, so I can't really play another defender. So yeah, I think I might look to ship Taylor and probably for a Klein, as I will want someone who is playing in the blank. So probably that. If Taylor is okay, I think I might roll the transfer too, because the only transfer I had in mind was Bruno, but I think I'm gonna wait until the double to get him in. So I think I'm just rolling the free hit for now. The free transfer. I'm sorry, and I'm just gonna see what happens.
Yeah, very good on myself. I'll be potentially getting Dallas in for Taylor, who's I'm not really sure how long out for, but hamstrings never tend to be too good. I will be bringing in Dallas against Tottenham, so potentially not the most ideal fixture to bring in for, but I'm going to need a full playing team. But other than that, I'm potentially looking at getting Calvert-Lewin out, to be honest. As much as you can complain about Calvert-Lewin, he's been okay. I mean, he keeps sort of delivering around 5-6 points every game and getting quite a few assists here and there and getting involved with goals, but he's not the asset that he was sort of at the start of the season. And to be honest, I think his time is sort of up. So I would potentially be looking to get in either Antonio for Calvert-Lewin later if Antonio is sort of fully recovered from his injury. But other than that, I'm potentially looking to put Calvert-Lewin down to a sort of 4.5 like Brewster, and then get Barnes in the midfield. But I think this week it will have to be Dallas, despite him playing Tottenham, because as I said, I'm going to need a full playing team. I'm currently on 25 points with still Salah captain, and yes, Firmino to play. How are you doing this game week? How many points are you on, Chris?
So I'm on 35, but minus 4 at 31. And I have Robertson and Salah captain to play. So I'm honestly hoping for a big Liverpool win tonight. Honestly, anything would do. Maybe Salah with two goals would be nice. To pass the 60-point mark, it would be really, I think it would be a really beneficial thing this game, because many people are unfortunate. Yeah, I know. But I think in others, unfortunate, I think that's where we have to be lucky, you know, if you want to make ground sometimes. So hopefully it works out.
And yourself, Aditya, how many points are you currently on, and with who to play?
So I think with auto subs, I'm on 28. And I've just got Salah left. Yep.
Yeah, same for me. I forgot about the auto substitutions. I will also be on 28 or 29 once they come in. However, I think that's all for today. Hopefully we do get a game week 17, and even if we don't, it will come round, and potentially we'll see some very exciting triple game weeks in the future if we don't. But I think that's all we've got time for today, everyone, unless anyone has more points that they want to bring up. If you do, as I say, please speak now. But other than that, other than that, guys, thank you all for listening here from us at the Academica Vertex. Stay tuned. Keep up with us on Twitter at FPL Academica and at the underscore FF Academy. Hopefully, we should be back next week with a podcast when we'll have some more solid news about what's happening with the continuation with the Premier League. But thank you all very much for listening, and we'll see you all next time. You know, man.